The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and I think the Rockets might be imploding before our very eyes. You know what? It's a tradition like no other. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel de Voldemort. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. And it's a Thursday. Technically, the weekend's here. Tomorrow's happy hour, and by the time we get done with that, the rest of the show's kind of a train wreck. So
I don't know if we should say it's here.
It is for me. I consider Thursday the weekend because, like, Thursday night I go out with my friends. It's our, you know, kind of our tradition that starts the weekend. You know, tomorrow we drink.
Okay.
And Trey's going to do karaoke. So, you know, it's not even a show. It's just fun. It's okay to have fun.
Well, I guess I won't start off the show the way I was planning on starting it then, if you're looking to have fun.
Well, I wanted to start off with the latest on your Rockets, frankly.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Because now, of course, all the stories start coming out. Like Westbrook, well, he doesn't like the offense. And I'm wondering, does he not like the offense that he was in or that the new guy's going to do? Totally confused by that.
I don't know. all I know is it's falling apart rapidly. And
maybe it should. Maybe I think this is a good thing. And if you look at what's happened to them since the end of the season, Daryl Morey dead. Mike D'Antoni, dead. Now Westbrook wants out. He'll be dead. At that point, maybe you say, you know what? Harden, dead. Let's start the whole thing over. Because right now, they're a complete and utter mess. And actually, that's a column I wrote for today. Is about how, if the Rockets completely implode here, how this could be the dark ages for a little while for Houston sports.
Yeah.
But, which we talked about a little earlier in the week. But now you got other players coming out saying how unhappy they are, and frankly, do the other players matter?
Well, like PJ Tucker's mad because, like, I guess he's expecting some big contract.
Yeah, I thought he already had a contract.
I'll be honest, I like PJ Tucker. I don't want to pay him a big contract, certainly. And listen, I get that you don't want to run PJ off because you don't have a big on this team, and right now he's the closest thing you've got to it, and there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to get one in the offseason. So I understand, you know, he's got a little bit of pull right now, particularly while the other two, the stars on the team are basically not blatantly saying they want out, but certainly hinting that they want out. Like I saw today, a list of teams that James Harden would be interested in playing for if he were to demand a trade, which he's not doing yet. But he's got a list of teams that he might be into playing for.
Did he finally return a phone call?
If it comes down to demanding a trade, he knows where he wants to play. And of course, they're all good teams in the Eastern Conference. That, I mean, I don't know if they want. I'm not sure that Philadelphia, like everybody says, Philadelphia would work because Daryl Morey loves James Harden. I might also say Daryl Morey may realize, you know what? I got out of this thing. It's like the girl that, you know, you don't know that you want to marry her, but, you know, she's kind of giving you an ultimatum, and then something happens. Like maybe she gets pregnant and she loses the baby, and now you've got, like, there's a moment in time where you can separate and you can get out of this thing that was probably a toxic relationship to begin with. And you're like, okay, I'm out of here. We're not going to be parents together. I'm moving to Philadelphia. And then she starts calling like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to Philadelphia. What do you think? The answer is just don't take that phone call. James is that girl that lost the baby. And you were able to break up with him, and it didn't look bad on you because if you know, if she'd kept the baby, like if the baby would have been a healthy baby and you'd moved to Philadelphia, you'd be the bad guy. But right. In this instance, it didn't work out that way. I just think that Daryl, as much talk as there is about how much Daryl loves James, a lot of that could have been because Daryl, that's the best thing he had. And that's what he had to build around. And Daryl also probably can take a step back and look at the scenario from the outside and say, you know what? I could only get so far with that dude. There's a reason why I'm not in Houston anymore. If James and I were a perfect match, then I'd probably still be in Houston and I'd be counting my championships. But maybe they're not a perfect match.
Or maybe he really does believe the BS he was saying, and the whole thing was he just couldn't work with Tillman. And maybe that's what James's thing is too.
It's possible.
I'm okay with blowing it up. And actually, we were on Patrick Creighton and I were on with Nate this morning on Fox 26, and they asked about that. And it's like, do you think Westbrook will be here next year? It's like, no, I don't. And I don't think Harden should be here either. I think you really should just say, you know what, this is a bleep show. Let's flush it and we'll start from scratch. And I know Rockets fan doesn't want to hear that. Now apparently Westbrook is the bad guy to Rockets fan.
Of course.
Yeah, they're all Russell Westbrook. What are you going to do? Inject him with the Wuhan flu? Yeah, he's already had it, so you can't do that. But I think at some point, if you're going to move on, move all the way on. Because another year of James Harden and a bunch of homeless guys and James dominating the ball probably gets you to the playoffs again, but that's it. Is that really what you're interested in?
I can't imagine that's what you're looking for.
But, yeah.
Weedon Boy says that's a specifically random scenario. I don't know. I was just trying to think of a reason, like, why you'd be able to get away from someone and no harm, no foul. I don't know why I came up with that.
I think it worked.
Okay.
I give it a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Okay, hey, that'll work for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's good enough, right? It's hard to get the 10. Oh, everybody's saying that's morbid.
Well.
Hey, you know, it happens.
So is the Rocket situation, all right?
No.
It ain't great.
But I, you know, it's interesting because now all this stuff starts coming out. And have we really heard anything from your new GM?
No.
At all?
No. Well, what the hell is he going to say?
He's not doing anything. Obviously not. I'm just curious. I always wonder, okay, so who's the voice of reason? Who comes out and says, hey, you know, we're working all this stuff out, or just saying, hey, I understand. Stop. And somebody's asking already if we talked. We talked about it yesterday. There's nothing else to say about that. It's a PR person, for God's sakes.
She's very, very important.
It's a PR flack. Let's just stop. That's like us getting rid of a weekend board engineer. That's what that's like. So, I don't recognize that name in the intro anymore. Space Ghost says, I'm sure Westbrook wants to be the number one option on a team. And
Westbrook should probably realize that maybe the days of him being a number one option are by him. And not only that, when he's been the number one option, teams have been pretty bad.
Yeah, and one of the stories that I was reading said he wants to get back to where it was, like in Oklahoma City, where he was the dominant guy and just putting up stats. Okay, that's great. There's a lot of teams that would love to have you do that. Go ahead.
Bye.
But I also think, and again, we talked about this a little bit with Jim Crane and the Astros. Maybe in this, you know, in this environment where you're not making nearly as much money, this is a good time to say, let's cut this payroll a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the Astros are going to do it, and people aren't going to like it that they're not going to go after George Springer. But I mean, realistically, I get it, and I think it might be the same thing with the Rockets. He's spin up to the luxury tax, and now maybe it's going to be like, you know what? That isn't getting us where we want to go. Let's rethink this thing. All right. Maybe he needs a really better lawyer in the front office.
Good.
Lawyer Dave would be perfect. What's going on, Dave?
Well, you know, I have represented some pretty famous people in the past, and almost to a person, they are fundamentally unreasonable. It's been my experience.
Well, thank God I'm not famous. So, Dave, tell people if they get in a wreck, what they're supposed to do, who they're supposed to call, what's going to happen for them.
Okay. Blitzers, if you get in an accident, take pictures at the scene. And as soon as you get done taking pictures, if you're hurt, go to the hospital. If you don't have a doctor, you don't have money to get to a doctor, then call me, Houston-based lawyer David Mestemaker, Lawyer Dave, at 713-626-8900, and I'll get you to the right person without any money up front out of your pocket.
That's right. You don't get paid a dime until you win, and you guys are in it together. You're gambling together.
You bet we are. And when we take a case, there's no money from the client for the first consultation. There's no money from the client until we split the money at the very end. That's how we do it.
Yeah, and you practice all over the great state, all the way to all as far as El Paso and all the way far, over to the east side of there, Orange, and every place else, so any place in Texas, right?
You bet. We'd certainly do that. And we've had some recent cases come in with people having some drugs that have turned out to be not what they were supposed to be and got hurt pretty bad. So we'll take on those drug manufacturers, too. That's for sure also.
And tell them how they can get in touch with you, my man.
You can call me at 713-626-8900. I'm in the office right now. Give me a holler if you got a question or an issue. Or you can email me at lawyerdave.com or tweet me at lawyerdavelaw or through my friend Fred. He'll find me for sure.
Yeah, you can always hit me up, which usually happens on the weekends. I get two or three. Hey, I need Lawyer Dave's number. So always happy to pass it on if you can't remember all that. All right, they need a lawyer. What do they do?
They had better dial Dave.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. It's AJ Hoffman. It's fall, and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal Box of Awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
From what I understand, either James Harden or Russell Westbrook are on the trade market right now. I don't think Harden's going anywhere short term. Let's see how things go this next few days with Russell Westbrook.
Okay, who was that?
That was Brian Windhorst.
So he heard that directly from LeBron James.
Yes.
Okay. Before we get back to that, shout out to BB's Tex Orleans who brought us food today.
Oh, boy, did they.
I got to say, best red beans and rice I've had.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I won't say that because my mom would be very upset. Mm. But the it was very good. The etouffee was very good. And I'm telling you, these Tex Cajun fries, bruh. It's got queso and gravy.
I mean, their queso is amazing. I just had a little bit of it here on the break, and the rest of it's going home with me. But, yeah, that really good stuff. Please check those guys out. BB Tex Orleans.
1 million locations in the city now. That's not true, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, and it's really
you
good
stuff. You can find them.
Yeah. Okay, so what did Windhorst really tell us there? That they won't trade Harden?
Well, he says that either one of them, at least one of them, is currently being shopped, but it sounds like they're going to hold on and try to move Westbrook first and then deal with Harden afterwards.
I mean, I think that makes sense. Get rid of Westbrook first and then see where you are. See if you get some players that you can put around Harden and maybe take one more shot. I'm kind of out on the one more shot thing. I think we know what Harden is at this point of his career. And I don't know that there's anybody you can put with him at this stage that's going to make this a championship team.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless you trade him to the Warriors.
Right.
I mean, that's about the only chance he's going to get it done,
But that's not happening.
No, and nor should it. But I think it is kind of telling. It feels like they're going to be cheap, and that's okay if you can get out from under those deals. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to get back to where they are. There's a lot of teams that would love to be there that just – playoffs every year, a couple of conference finals, you know, being close. There's a lot of teams that would love that. And it is hard to say, you know what, it might have to punt here. It took the Spurs forever to kind of finally get to the point where it's like, you know what, maybe, you know, we're not going to be able to stay on top forever. So what do you do now? And they tried to hang on a little bit too long, I think. I think the danger here is you could still get a haul for Harden. You're not going to get equal value back.
Well, the problem was by the time it is sort of similar now that you mentioned the Spurs, because they had a superstar player that things got contentious with.
Yeah.
And by the time they got him out of there, it was kind of too late. They weren't.
You didn't really get a lot back for him.
No.
You got a useful player.
Yeah, you got DeMar DeRozan.
But yeah.
That's not Kawhi Leonard.
No.
So... It's a weird situation, and the other difference would be that Kawhi Leonard had 1 year left on his deal,
right?
And you know, mind you, in that 1 year, he went and won the Raptors a championship, so the Raptors don't feel bad about making the deal,
not at all.
But yeah, I think that if you and I have said this, I mean, I know I've been saying it for a long time. The Rockets aren't winning a title with James Harden. If they believe that to be true, if there's people in that building who still think that James is going to win them a championship, then they should hold on to him. But my take is that they don't. And if you've got an opportunity to get him out of here and get 80 cents, 75 cents on the dollar, do it.
Well, because I think that 75 cents will be worth a dollar in 2 years.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
If you trade these guys... You have to get back draft picks.
Yeah.
You have to get back draft picks. It can't just be more contracts that are going to, you know, be on the books for 2 or 3 years. I'd ideally like, you know, some combination of expiring contracts, good young talent that's on maybe on the cheap that you'll have to make a decision on for in the next year or two, but that's okay. And draft picks. It needs to be a combination of those things.
And I don't need superstar young talent.
No.
Well,
because you're not going to get that.
Right.
You're not going to get Devin Booker for James Harden.
No.
You're not.
No. And so I'm not even looking at it that way. I'm looking at, okay, I'm going to get a draft pick that I hopefully can make a good choice on, which we don't know how the Rockets are going to be with draft picks because they've never used them. And under Morey, they weren't important. But... there are players out there that you can get who can develop into really good ones. And, you know, that's going to take a smart front office. I don't know how smart this front office is. I just don't know. We'll find out. But I want some of that. And yeah, the guys that you would get back, I don't need superstars. I need guys who are solid NBA starters with upside.
Yep.
And that's it. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I think you should be able to pull that off. But, and I think – Patrick was saying they don't have a first round pick this year or next year, but then they do the 2 years after that. So, you know, that would all kind of make sense if you move now. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. How'd your Maxion go last night?
You know how it went. It was 2-1. I made money.
2-1 is good.
I made money.
I know you're mad about the one.
The one was the smallest bet of the three, smallest investment, but it was an underdog money line bet.
Right.
And it should have won. And Toledo are a bunch of choking dogs, and I almost feel like it was fixed. I don't know. Just a terrible ending in Toledo, Western Michigan. But the rest of Maction was good, and even counting the results from the first day, it's going to be end up being a plus money week in Maction. So we're 2-0 in Maction week by week.
Yeah,
so I'll take that. And I think we only have like four more Maction weeks. So the goal is 4-2 in Maction.
Okay.
And I'm 2-0.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, that was if you didn't see the end of the Toledo game, that it was hilarious. And not to AJ, but they were
nonsense is what it was.
They were down there and about to kick probably a tying field goal and then did the fake spike, and the other guys had no clue what was going on.
None.
The dude was so wide open that any one of us could have thrown that touchdown pass. So and then they wind up winning the game. But yeah, it was a fun finish. And there was a lot of a lot of people thought that there was a whistle there, but the whistle was to reset the ball.
Yeah.
So and then I want to talk Colts Titans a little bit tonight because we have a difference of opinion, but I think we probably should save that.
Well, we've got a guest in the next
segment. Yeah, we got Alex coming up next, so we'll do that afterwards, or maybe we'll do it at 5:00. We'll also have Brad Powers as usual, 5:30. Taylor McCarg at 6:00. So lots of guest action today.
Lots of action.
Yeah.
Lots of action.
Should have played those Kings, Mike.
Mm.
713-780-3776. I actually, Tiger 4-under at the Masters today.
Congratulations, Tiger.
We'll have to do a Masters update at some point with the music and everything.
People don't care about the Masters until Saturday, I don't think.
I don't know. Everybody yesterday was like insulting us because we were going to watch football over the Masters this weekend.
Well, I can't believe
you're going to watch a Jaguars game over the Masters. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I'll look and see who did what, and if Tiger's in it on Saturday or Sunday and it doesn't conflict with the football games I'm watching, I'll watch. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Summer small and summer deep,
and I bleed from the... You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And got a little special guest here today.
We do. And Aaron said he was trying to find Alex Morano's walkout music. I'm sure it's... Did he tell you what it was?
Yes.
Is it some kind of Viking metal?
It's a metal cover of Country Roads Take Me Home.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
I looked for the band, and it's not on Spotify right now, so I'm sure that it's a band that, dude, again, he's the only
Alex
one who
doesn't
knows.
Listen to bands that you've heard of, or any of us have heard of. Alex Morano, UFC welterweight, joins us on the phone. He is out in Las Vegas right now. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. It's good to be back on the show. The walkout song is a guy, he's like an independent artist on YouTube, and I actually contacted him, and for this fight, I wanted to make sure to contain any like bloodlust, so the song's a little more laid back than normal. So that was the reason behind this decision.
You don't have the bloodlust? Is that what you're saying?
No. Last time I started brawling a little too early. I at least want to postpone that until later in the fight.
That's probably a good idea. And you know what? That's something I wanted to ask you about, because the last time you fought was in February, and it was a loss. And you just decided, you know what, I'm going right at this guy, and he was more than happy to brawl with you, and Chaos Williams, and he ended up knocking you out, and you've always been like a killer be killed guy. Does it kind of put into perspective when the next time you're on a card, he's on the card and he's in the co-main event, that like maybe if you win that fight, then maybe you're at that point on the card? Does that Does that kind of put it into perspective at all for you and make you say, man, I need to fight smarter sometimes?
I mean, yeah, I definitely took some good lessons from that fight. You know, just like finding my range, establishing the jab is always on the top priority list, but I got just like a little too amped, you know, being at home. And actually my teammate in Razak, Judo Thunder, he's a man. He's actually fighting Chaos. And then, you know, Razak is, what, 4 wins in the UFC with 4 knockouts.
And they're going to throw down, too.
10 knockouts, and that's going to be a scrap. I'm really looking forward to that fight. And then, you know, dude, I'm a vet. I've been in the game a long time. I've actually been talking to Chaos and his coach just a little bit, and they're not bad dudes. And, you know, I just really got myself to blame for some of the decision-making in that fight. But I've certainly learned some of those lessons, and I definitely plan on, you know, implementing them in this next fight.
Well, let's talk about the fight that you've got coming up here. And this is a guy who he made a short notice debut, and it's probably like worst case scenario. Who could we put you in there with that gives you zero chance of winning? Like stylistically, it was the worst possible matchup for him against Shamaev, and he you know, not surprisingly, got dominated. What do you know about his game? Because obviously you didn't learn much about it from the Shamaev fight. What do you know about his game, and what do you expect to be different in you guys' fight?
Yeah, you know, I watched all the footage I can find. You know, he's young, he's tough, and he's a pretty long guy, and he's a striker. So I'm thinking this fight will take place on the feet for the most of it, and I'm just excited for it. Definitely plan on showing some veteran status here. And I plan on taking this fight kind of into deeper waters. That would be ideal. Just kind of test the young guy's mettle, you know, let him know what it feels like to get a fight dragged on the octagon. And, you know, usually when I'm gunning for the knockout, it doesn't come. So my main goal is to do as much damage as possible. I've had that goal in the past and successfully done it, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
So you see the Shamaev fight, and you, like, I mean, obviously you're – maybe not a Shamaev level grappler, but you have a grappling background. You're a very good grappler. Has there been any thought of, like, you know what, taking this guy down and pounding on him would probably be the easiest path to victory? I know that's not typically the way you like to think when you fight, but did you give that any thought?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, this is one of those fights where, like, I get to be very free, and you know, whatever position presents itself, I'll certainly take. I know the guy comes forward, I comes forward, I'm sure we're bound to clash. But you know, this is one of those fights where I don't have to have, like, a specific game plan. I can just kind of go out there and do my thing. And, you know, if the fight goes to the ground, great. If not, that's fine. But I don't want to have to force anything. That's when guys tend to move a bit unnaturally. And I'm very excited to be able to, like, you know, be a total, pure, unfiltered self in this fight.
So, like I mentioned before, your last fight was in February. It was here. That means that this is your first fight during COVID time. But let me ask you first, was there ever an opportunity for you to go to Fight Island or out to Vegas before this? Or is this just the way it worked out? This was your time to fight. How did it work out that you're fighting now?
Yeah, they had asked if I wanted to fight, but it was right when like the lockdown was just finishing, and I had to make sure my gym didn't go out of business. So my priorities were there, but as soon as that kind of got back on track, and I was very quick to jump in on a fight. And, yeah, so it's like the first contract I was offered. Took it. Can't wait for the fight. And, man, I actually like the fact that there's no fans, you know, just for this one. It'll be cool to hear the punches landing, hear the corners. I always enjoyed, like, the hardship of the psychological warfare in the fight. And it'll be cool to hear that uninterrupted.
Now, how has COVID affected your training? I mean, is it any different at this point, or has it been more difficult? Was it difficult to stay in shape over the last 6 months? What was COVID training like for you?
No, not at all. So, you know, when the gym did open back up, I was teaching every single class, mostly so the payroll could sustain it. And so I stayed in good shape. You know, I think some of the stress kept my weight down. And it actually made this fight camp really, really efficient and effective, because I only had a handful of training partners. And they were all high-level guys. Like, when I was training at Fortis, you know, I had Ramez and Razak and Jeff Neal. Those are, like, my three pretty much exclusive training partners there. And then when I was in Houston, I actually trained a lot with Trevin Giles. And I, like, made sure to only get rounds in with him. You know, he just fought and looked phenomenal, knocked his guy out in the third round. And so, man, my training partners were all very high quality. They were all big guys. And man, I feel like I'm in good shape. I've been you know, peaking pretty heavily the last few weeks. And man, not getting tired hitting mitts, not getting tired grappling. You know, able to push the pace later in the rounds. I'm very, very satisfied with this fight camp.
One more question about your opponent, about McKee. Like, have you matched up with anyone that's built like him, like a super tall, skinny welterweight, or is it difficult to find guys like that are built quite like him?
No, it was nice. So at my home gym, especially when I was doing like a lot of like my technical work with my coach, so I'd, you know, go to Fortis, hit my really hard rounds, you know, come back to Houston later in the week, talk to my coach for a couple days we had, make the adjustments, and at home I got two training partners, two kickboxers, two like pure kickboxers, both of them actually a little bit taller than Reyes, and I did all of my like drilling and technical sparring with those guys. Man, it was good. And historically, I prefer to fight the longer guys. You know, the range in the fight just seems to be a little longer, and I always feel a little more comfortable there. So, man, it all worked out very well.
And you'll have a chance to throw that overhand right that I know you love so much.
Or perhaps a cleaned-up right hook.
Okay, maybe that. Look at you. Look at you. Practice what you preach all of a sudden.
Yeah, I took 15 years.
That is Alex Morano, UFC welterweight. You can see him on ESPN Plus this weekend. So it's a freebie. Fight Night 182. I think he's the third from the top on the prelim card. But it's going to be a decent card. They it looked like disaster had struck. They lost the main event, and they found an excellent replacement in Paul Felder to step in on short notice. So that's exciting. It's a really solid card top to bottom. So make sure you check it out. And of course, cheer on Houston's own Alex Morano. Alex, always appreciate you making time for us, man. Best of luck on Saturday. I'm sure this is going to be another good one for you, and looking forward to seeing you in there again, man.
Cool. Thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. See ya.
He might be the UFC fighter we've had on the most.
Probably so.
Andrew early on.
It was. And Derek.
And Derek.
But Alex is such a busy fighter. He fights 3-4 times a year sometimes. And Alex was, he's of my 5 MMA fights, he's cornered me in 4 of them. He was one of my most direct coaches and training partners. So I've got a really good relationship with him, and I was so happy for him when he got the call. And yeah, and it's always good to see these guys, you know, make the rise. It's a good thing.
And he's an easy guy to root for.
He is.
He's a good dude, and he's so much fun to watch because it's like you said, it's kill or be killed. And maybe he starts to evolve a little bit on that, which would be interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, I love the way he goes after it. And
I keep expecting him to make a change philosophically. But this is a rare dude who, like, he doesn't care about winning championships. He's got no interest in ever becoming the UFC champion. He wants to have like these epic fights that people will search on YouTube 20 years from now. And he doesn't really even fight. Like, money's not really a motivator for him. It's literally being in these violent, gnarly fights that, like, he wants to go down as, like, one of the most entertaining fighters in UFC history, which is kind of a badass way to think. Now, like I said, this is a dude who's a black belt. He could easily take dudes down and submit them. But once he gets in the cage, it kind of, like, this switch flips on him, and he's just a different cat. And he just likes to... He likes to try to like you said, kill or be killed. He's willing to go out on his sword, is what he always says.
It's kind of like when you see like a tiger playing with like a monkey gets into a cage in India, and you see the tiger playing with it and knowing that any tech now it can just smack it down and eat it, but it wants to screw around and claw it up and, you know, make it hurt a little bit,
but
so it knows.
I mean, but it's also kind of like, you know, just a tiger with a silverback gorilla in the cage, and like knowing damn well that silverback could also maul him at any time, but he doesn't care. He welcomes that as long as fans are happy and there's good violence. He's up for it, which is, I've always respected about Alex. So check it out, UFC Fight Night 182 on Saturday. Now, let me tell you how to save some money if you own your home. You've got to pay your homeowner's insurance. That's just the way it is. You can't skip out on that. But you could be paying less. and I certainly found out I was paying way too much for my homeowner's insurance. How about $1,000 a year too much? And that's when I came across TGS, Lanny Hayes and TGS. All you got to do is send a text. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to respond back, ask for your address. You'll reply back with that. They've already done all the work. It's 15 seconds. They're going to send you a quote because they've already shopped all the insurance prices in our area, and they know what you could be paying for your homeowner's insurance. All it takes is that text, and it saved me over $1,000. The average customer saving just over $900. Graham down the hall saved $2,600 a year, and they take care of the back end. They get you out of your old policy, get you refunded on it because they have to, and they start you saving money. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Thanks to Alex Morano for joining us on the program. Did you see this, Aaron? Obviously, there's like after the election, there were a bunch of people who wanted to donate to the Save America, which was it was presented as the legal fund to help Trump, you know, get the election back.
Yeah, file all the lawsuits and crap.
Right. Well, it turns out today, this story comes out that it says as President Donald Trump seeks to discredit the election with baseless claims of voter fraud, his team has bombarded his supporters with requests for money to help pay legal challenges in the future, or legal challenges to the results. Hey, we turn the AC on there, Fred. But any small dollar donations from Trump's grassroots donors won't be going to legal expenses at all, according to the review of the legal language in his solicitations. The emailed solicitations send supporters to an office election or official election defense fund website that asks them to sign up for recurring donations to protect the results and keep fighting. The fine print makes it clear that most of the money will go to other priorities. A large portion of the money goes to Save America, a Trump leadership PAC set up on Monday, and the Republican National Committee. Under Federal Election Commission rules, both groups have broad leeway in how they can use the funds. And basically, he can actually end up keeping a lot of the money himself, but basically none of it goes to legal fees. So it's like he's finding one last way to dig in your pocket before he heads out.
I mean, he's going to sign a $100 million, probably $200 million book deal when he leaves.
Probably so. But you think that's a dude who's like, oh, I don't need more?
No, but I mean, it happens on both sides. Like when the BLM stuff got really ramped up over the summer, if you would go to their website, they had a link at the top that said donate to Black Lives Matter. Click on it, and it takes you to a thing called Act Blue. And if you go look up the actual, like, what is actblue.com, it was fundraising for Democrats.
Yeah, typical. It says here, if a Trump donor gave $500, for instance, $300 of it would go to Trump's Save America PAC, $200 would go to the RNC, $0 would go to his election defense fund. This is why I hate politicians.
Yeah, I don't know that if, well, first off, I don't give money to politicians. I think it's a waste. I don't care what party you are. I think that that's something that needs to be fixed, especially in a social media world. We don't need to be spending a ridiculous amount of money on re-elections. I just think it's dumb.
Yeah.
But I would never do it. But especially something like this, help our legal challenge. No.
Well, and then he posts this this email from, it's a solicitation for money to a Georgia recount fund, It's like, hey, give us money so we can make sure this recount happens. On the right is a disclaimer that shows that unless you donate thousands of dollars, none of the money will go to any recount account. That like it's there's a cutoff. So if you're like throwing out $25 that you think is going to, you know, legal defenses for Trump, that's not where it's going. It's very disgusting. I don't like it. I hate that politicians just go around asking people for money. Like, we're going to pay your salary if you win. How about that?
Yeah. That's long been a pet peeve of mine. Is if they do, because, by the way, if they have to have a recount, isn't that already paid for? Isn't that already accounted for?
Now, if you donate at least $8,000 to the election defense, then some money will start going to actual election defense. But if you donate less than $8,000, probably none of it will. I just hate politicians. I hate all of them.
Just a strong and fast rule. Don't ever donate to political campaigns. Don't. If you want to donate to your local church or, you know, a local a child's home or battered woman's fund, something like that. But don't ever donate to anything political.
Yeah. You know, Mark Cuban tweeted out today, instead of giving money to these Republicans or Democrats, it says, for those considering donating to reps or Dems in the Georgia Senate runoff, can you please reconsider and donate that money to your local food bank and organizations that can help these without food or shelter? Let's put Americans in need above politics. Sounds like the right time to do just that.
Exactly.
But
yeah, guess what? I agree with him. And, you know, I don't know what it is, but politicians and then these grifter evangelists have a lot in common.
Oh, they're the worst.
And
they're worse than politicians, yeah, even.
Don't be giving your money to either one, would be my humble suggestion. So, the game tonight. You like the Colts. Tell me why.
I like the Colts for a couple reasons. First, the Titans. I know everyone just assumes that Derrick Henry is this monster, and that's just not really the case this year. His usage has gone down. He's not been an effective runner the last couple games. And really, when he's had success, it's been against bad run defenses. The Colts, second best run defense in the NFL. And on the other side of the coin, the teams that have given the Colts trouble are the two best defenses that they've seen, the Bears and the Ravens. Outside of those two games, Phillip Rivers has been very good. And those are the two best pass defenses that he's seen, obviously. And they're going to make a lot of guys look bad. But if you take out those two games, Phillip Rivers is actually like top 10 most efficient quarterback in the league. The Titans, we know defensively, are not the Bears or the Ravens. They're going to have a hard time slowing things down. I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to go crazy on him, but I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to be shut down and embarrassed the way he was against Baltimore. But mostly, I just think that this Colts defense is undervalued. And, I think the Titans are probably a little bit better on offense. Although, since Taylor Lewan went out, their offensive line is not the same. Ryan Tannehill's not been the same because he doesn't have him, and he hasn't had a good run game behind him to help. So, if nobody's buying play action, Ryan Tannehill's going to have a hard time. And right now, I don't think Ryan Tannehill's selling people on play action.
I think the Taylor Lewan injury was a lot more, it was a bigger deal than people wanted to make of it. I think we made a big deal of it at the time.
Yeah.
But I also think they've had a couple weeks to adjust now. And I think part of the problem why Henry hasn't been that effective is because they were trying to run to that side a lot. I think they're going to make some adjustments. And the one thing about, even without Lewan, that's a very good offensive line. And they do match up okay with the Colts, who have a great defense. And a lot of people don't think of the Colts as this defensive juggernaut, but they're one of the best in the league. Yeah. And by the way, Matt Eberflus, another guy you might want to think about for head coach with the job he's done there. But I believe that if the Titans are able to run the ball, and I think they will, I know the Colts are good against the run, but I just think from a line standpoint matchup, I like it. And I expect Phillip Rivers to make one or two mistakes. And while the Titans' defense is not good, especially on third down, they're almost comical on third down. They're like the Texans on every down, but on third down especially. But I think they'll run the ball, they'll control the clock, and I think Henry has a good game tonight. I don't think he's going to go off for 150 against these guys, but 110, 105, somewhere in there on 20 carries, control the clock, get back to your play action, then I like the Titans here. I think it's a field goal either way, but so does Vegas. Vegas has it.
Yeah.
Pick them, basically.
I'm going, and I got the I took the Colts plus two instead of the money line. Another reason why I like the Colts better in a close game is the Titans have been obviously incredibly inconsistent at kicker, and you never know what you're going to get.
Well, that's
miss
fair.
Extra points, that's miss fair. Field goals. So in these games with a close spread, I'm going to take every single point I can because two is a dead number, but.
Right.
In a Titans game, it might not be a dead number. So
yeah, it could be a Guskowski missed extra point.
So I'm going to take it. I think this is it's a game where when the Colts have the ball, it'll be weakness versus weakness. When the Titans have the ball, it's going to be strength versus strength. Since Darius Leonard's been back healthy, they've been very good. And another thing, the last six times the Colts have played against Derrick Henry, they've held him under 100 yards in five of those six meetings. So I think they do a good job of slowing him down tonight. And I just don't trust Tannehill to make enough plays.
I think it's got to be a Jonnu Smith game. And I think that's the other thing they need to do besides pound Henry is they need to get the ball to him in some space. And I think that's what I like the under more than anything. Because I'm not expecting a lot of points in this game. Having said that, it'll probably be 36-33.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be a slow game, and I think that's how the Titans are going to try to play, keep the defense off the field, and we'll see.
And the other thing is the Colts are finally getting a little bit healthy on offense. T.Y. Hilton's supposed to be back tonight. Should make a difference. And not that this really matters because it goes back so far, but The Titans have lost 19 of the last 23 meetings in this matchup, and then their four wins have come with Jacoby Brissett or Curtis Painter at quarterback. So unless the Colts are just like homeless at quarterback, they've beaten the Titans. Now, mind you, that's year to year, it doesn't make much difference, but it is kind of a wild stat that the Colts have dominated this matchup.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5,
92.5.
ESPN 97.5.